From John chapter 18, starting at verse 36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. Thanks for tuning in on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's September 28th, 2012. And I knew, Jason, when I read this in my devotionals the other day, that portion about Pilate saying, "What is the truth?" was going to get you all fired up. But I thought, in light of talking about Bill Allison coming to town next week and learning how to make Jesus's vision and mission your vision and mission, and learning that Jesus here is claiming to be the truth and that everyone on the side of truth listens to me, I figured maybe we could talk a little about Bill Allison, about this workshop, and about this very verse that's so important, but I know is kind of heartbreaking for you.
Yeah, there's a gentleman who is the managing editor of Leadership Magazine. His name is Sky Jatani, and he coined a few years ago this idea that we're moving into a post-Christian age. There was, for a long time, people called it post-modern, but he said we're moving into a post-Christian age. And then Albert Mohler, president of the Baptist Theological Seminary, he came along and he said, he almost echoed that too and said, yes, we're moving that. But Mohler said this past year at the Gospel Coalition Conference, he said we're moving into a post-God time. With the Bible being the central document, the central place that we go to define truth, the central place that we go to understand truth, the Bible is this moral compass that is far above us. I mean, the Bible does things that we don't even understand. Sometimes we question because it's so beyond our understanding that somebody could say, well, while they're still sinners, I forgive them. I sent my own son to the cross. I mean, there's so many moments in the Bible where you go, wait a second, the way this person is acting in the Bible doesn't fit my conception of how anybody could act. And that's because the Bible is this document of truth, this moral compass that is far above us. And we need to have something like that. We need to have something that's just slightly out of our grasp and slightly out of our reach. Because if we define truth on our own, we'll do exactly what's happening. I mean, oh my gosh, just watch the news. And I don't want to get political, but I mean, I think we saw validation for Albert Mohler's comments when we watched the Democratic National Convention. I mean, the fact that we had to vote God in Jerusalem back onto a platform is insane, considering that each one of us goes daily and pays for things with money that says, "In God we trust." Our founding fathers used the language of followers of God. And here we had to vote. I mean, just think of the how insane that sounds.
And the vote was really divided. They couldn't ever determine if it was two-thirds or whatever.
Voting. Look, I could draw a lot of, and I don't really, because Mark kind of pops these up on me, but I could go through the Old Testament and find a bunch of different stories and instances in the Old Testament where things much like that happened, and it didn't go well for those folks. It did not go well for those folks. And I think I shared with you the other day Ruth Graham's quote. Ruth Graham said, "If persecution does not fall upon America because of its departure from God and its immorality, then God himself will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah." Yeah, yeah. I read that and I go, oh my gosh. I mean, it caused me to pause and the hair on the back of my neck to kind of stand up, because I go, wow, we have really departed from the truth. And I think that this is, Mark coins it as, it's a kind of a funny phrase I use, this is one of my favorite verses. Because I think it's Pilate's greatest sin. I think it's Pilate's greatest sin when Pilate stands in front of Jesus, who is the embodiment of the living truth, the Logos, the Word of God, the living Word of truth stands in front of him, and he has the audacity to say, well, what is truth? And Pilate is just following a very Greco-Roman thought process, well, you know, to question truth, you know, because Pilate's just trying to have an engaging conversation. Well, what is truth? You know, and I'm going to discuss with this Galilean the nature of truth. And Jesus goes, wait, you know, you really can't even discuss the nature of truth with me because I am the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and just amazing that Jesus says, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. You still got your head stuck here. You're still worried about here. My kingdom has nothing to do with this. And he goes, you know what, if this was my kingdom, I'm telling you right now, I'd raise up everybody and we'd stomp you. That's kind of what Jesus is saying. If my kingdom was here, this we wouldn't even be having this conversation. But Jesus says, my kingdom is not of here. And Pilate goes, you're a king then? You know, Jesus says, you're right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. You know, Jesus says, I am a king, but then he goes, you know what? The reason I was born, the reason I came into this world, the reason I'm standing in front of you, the reason I will suffer, the reason that all these things will happen is so that I can testify to the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is what I'm holding in my hand right now. It's the gospel. It's God's word. And what was Jesus actually testifying to? Because remember, I want people to understand that the four gospels weren't written then. The New Testament wasn't written then. There was no New Testament. So what was Jesus testifying to? He was testifying to the Old Testament. He was testifying to all the prophetic utterances and things that came in the Old Testament that said that Jesus was going to be coming to town, that there was going to be the Son of Man who was going to come, and he was going to walk among us, he was going to touch us, and he was going to suffer many things. And on the third day, he would rise from the grave, and he would be seated at the right hand of God, and that he would send a Spirit who would be with us and who would remind us of God's great love for us.
And from the very beginning, from the pages of Genesis, that a redemptive plan is in order, being worked out. It began when the first sin was committed, that God was pointing towards what would be happening in the future.
Yeah, he'll come and he'll
Jesus.
Crush the head. You know, I mean, just think about that. Right after that happens, when God confronts the first sin of Adam and Eve, right there he says, they call it the proto-evangelion, which is the first mention of Jesus, that he's going to crush the head. And so Jesus says, look, I came to testify to the truth. And he goes, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. That's actually a good translation, but the better translation, if you were really to read the Greek there, everyone on the side of truth hears me. So when it says he listens to me, it also means because he's hearing Jesus. So when you're on the side of truth, when you have truth essential to your life, you're able to hear Jesus' voice. You're able to hear the word of God. And the truth is central. And we've lost such sight of the truth. We've lost such sight of what truth is. In fact, we've marred it with what we believe our own personal truth is. I mean, I can line up 10 people and go down the line and say, what do you think truth is? What do you think this is? What do you think? You get 10 different answers because it's so personal. It's not based on a higher standard. It's based on my standard or your standard. And that's the reason that we can have conversations about things that are clearly depicted in Scripture, clearly laid out in Scripture, clearly we're told what is sin, what is not sin, what you can do and what you cannot do. And then we're still having discussions about, can we do that? I mean, I think we can do that. I mean, if you just don't believe this and you don't believe this and you just focus on this, we can do anything we want. And that's not what Jesus came to do, because Jesus came to testify to the truth. That means he came to testify to all those things that were happening in the Old Testament, all those things yet to come. I mean, seriously, we've really lost sight of that. Our church has been going through Revelation, the seven churches particularly. And one of the things that really catches me every time I read about each one of these churches, because they all have a very similar, they're similar in nature into the structure of each letter to the church. But every week when I read it, it still catches me. When Jesus says to these churches, he says, these are the words of me. Who? Well, these are the words of me and Jesus. These are the words of the Son of Man, or these are the words to him who is the first and the last. Jesus says, this is who it's from. It's from me. It's from Jesus. And then Jesus says, I know your deeds. In every one of those letters, he says, I know what you do. I know what you do. I mean, we all should pause right there and just go, whoa. Jesus knows what I do. I don't care how tightly you close the curtains. I don't care if you turn all the lights off. I don't care if you try and hide out. I don't care what you do. Jesus knows what you do. He knows the truth because he came to testify to the truth. He knows the truth of the deepest, darkest things in my heart and your heart and Mark's heart and all of our hearts. Jesus knows that. And I love these letters to the churches because you know what? It keeps making me go, what if Jesus wrote me a letter? I mean, would Jesus say, I know your deeds, Jason? And then would he say, Nevertheless, I have this against you. Because you know what? I know that there are places in my heart that I'm doing work. There are places in my heart that I'm praying, Jesus, do a work in here. Because I got a little something I need to get taken care of over there. We all do. If you run into somebody who goes, no way, I'm all perfect, you know what? You just say, good day.
Well, Jason, I think it's been since third grade since I've sinned. I like to share that with some people just to get them all wound up. I've been sinning since third grade. What do you mean?
But I mean, it's just amazing what Jesus does and what Jesus says. And like I said, I mean, Jesus knows our deeds. He knows what we do. And Jesus knows what we've done wrong. And I taught this past weekend at the church at Thyatira. And I was just amazed at this church in Thyatira because, you know, Jesus says, and this is probably one of the church, I mean, that these are descending letters to the churches, so things get progressively worse as we get from Ephesus to Laodicea, the last church. But in Thyatira, things are starting to get really bad. And Jesus says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality, eating food sacrificed to idols. So right away, by the way, the problem here at Thyatira, which is, make the connection, it's the sanctity of marriage, it's the sanctity of your relationships, immorality, and idolatry. Take that from thousands of years ago, import it forward. We have an idol problem today. We have a problem with the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of our relationships and the immorality that we allow to creep into those.
So you're saying this letter, this church, is indicative of our churches
today?
It's
perennial. It's not just a historic church. It's perennial. The same thing that Jesus has against these churches is the same things he has against us today, the same things we're doing now. But Jesus says this, which fascinated me. He says, I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. This woman is a Jezebel, and those of us who remember Jezebel in the Old Testament, she was behind King Ahab, and she caused these temples to be built to Baal and little children to be sacrificed. I mean, she brought this idol worship into the land of Israel and kind of turned parts of the land of Israel into these idol-worshipping people. And Jezebel is not a good name to be called. By the way, I've never run into anybody who's named Jezebel, so I don't think it's on the top 1,000 names that we name our kids. But this woman is likened to her. It's not her name per se in Thyatira, but it's likened to her. But so this woman is the worst of the worst in this church in Thyatira, yet Jesus says, I've given her time to repent. Jesus goes, even that woman Jezebel, I have grace. Even that guy named Jason, I have grace. And I've given him time to repent. And Jesus, what is Jesus looking for? Well, right here it says, of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So what is Jesus looking for? He's looking for willingness. Mm-hmm. Willingness for you to embrace a higher standard of truth. Willingness for you to step into the truth. Willingness for you to proclaim that he is the truth. Because he came to testify to the truth.
Hey, maybe as we turn back to John chapter 18, and Jesus says, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. That word listens, is there a distinction there? And I think you were referencing this early on. There's a difference between listening and hearing. Is hearing really taking it into heart?
Well, it's actually the same. You can't listen. If you look at the Greek translation, they use the word hear. You can't listen unless you're hearing, and you can't hear unless you're listening. So it's one of those kind of things that the Bible does where it's kind of a double entendre that you can't do with one without the other. So Jesus says anybody who listens, well, the implication there is that you're hearing because you can't hear unless you're listening and can't listen unless you're hearing. So there's an air of kind of, I don't know how I say it. Sometimes I say it's almost like I don't really know how I want to say it.
Yeah, well, I'm just kind of wondering because there's a difference between I can hear your word or I can be listening to you but not really hearing what you're having to say. And I wonder if the hearing is really applying, taking it to heart, really getting it, not just listening to these words but really hearing what you're saying.
That's why Jesus says these people who are on this side of the truth, they hear. So the person who are on the side of the truth hears differently. The person on the side of the truth, I would tend to say, has a level of morality that's different than the person on the other side of the fence. And, you know, I mean, just think about the things that I know people who things come on their radar and it doesn't turn their stomach. And I don't understand why. Mm-hmm. There are things that come on the radar and I go, that doesn't make you mad? No. I mean, your Jesus says to love everybody. I just want to love everybody. And I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't turn your stomach? Yeah. I mean, really? No? And I go, You got it wrong. You've got it wrong. And Jesus says that. That's what Jesus says to that church in Thyatira. He says, look, you look good. I know your deeds and your works. You're doing more now than you ever did. You're having more bake sales. You're having more food drives. You're feeding more people. You're loving more people. You're doing more things. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You look good on the outside, but the inside's not looking so hot. I mean, you've put a fresh coat of paint on the outside, but it's the same old heart that we've been dealing with since Genesis chapter 3 on the inside. And by the way, it doesn't change. Note when you read the Bible, it doesn't change. I went through, I'm about 30% done. It's a little project I've been doing. But I'm trying to highlight all the places where immorality, relational immorality, and idolatry are the problem. You know what? There are more times in the Bible than anything else that the issue that God is dealing with is immorality in terms of relationship and idolatry. And I go, wow, that's the same exact thing that we're dealing with today. It's the same exact thing that Jude talks about in his little epistle that comes right before Revelation. It's the same thing that Jesus is saying to the seven churches in Revelation before things really heat up. And it's the same thing that he says later on in Revelation 19:15 as he comes back to deal with. The same issue. And I look out and I go, wow, that's what's on our horizon right now. That's the two biggest divisions in the evangelical landscape, is the sanctity of marriage and immorality in relationship and idolatry. Mm. Who is God? What is God? And what do we worship?
Will Bill Allison be addressing... How about this for a transition? Will Bill Allison be addressing these on the workshop that's going to be going on next Saturday, a week from this Saturday?
That was brilliant. It was like putting ice cream on the fire. You did really good there. No, actually, Bill will probably not. Though, I would tell you that me and Bill have had some really spirited conversations about the Book of Jude, and I know that when I told him I was going to be preaching through the Book of Jude a number of months ago in my church, that he was excited. It's one of the few times Bill is such a busy guy, one of the few times where he said, can I get some CDs or can I listen to this somehow? Because we had such great conversations about the Book of Jude and the implications of that. That all came from us reading John MacArthur's years and years ago. In fact, we didn't read, we listened to it. He bought the audiobook and he shared it with me, John MacArthur's Truth War. And then since then, I've read the book and highlighted the heck out of it. But just this idea of what the truth is. But Bill will be coming to town on October 6th, and he's going to be at the Evangelical Free Church of Muhammad on Route 47 there. And he's going to be bringing this teaching called How to Make Jesus' Vision and Mission Your Vision and Mission. And one of the things to say about Bill, and I know that you've seen him a number of times at the First Baptist Church of Savoy, and he comes and he fills the pulpit when I'm on vacation at our church and a number of churches in the area. He isn't tied just to one church, but Bill's mission is to be sent to all the churches. And so Bill is coming with this workshop, and it's built off of something that he's been working on for a number of years called Disciple Making is Relationships. And Bill, when he's in the studio next week, he'll talk more about this. But disciple-making, Bill doesn't like the word discipleship because he says it kind of sounds like you parked the ship at the dock. He likes disciple-making because there's an action to it. And he says that we try and make Jesus' final commands, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Surely I'll be with you till the end of the age. He says that we have made that too complex. It's really funny, a number of years ago, Bill had given me a book that he had written, and I read it, and I gave it to my wife to read, and my wife read like half of it. And I go, say, hey, what do you think of Bill's book? And she goes, duh. she goes, duh. And I said that to him. I go, hey, my wife, and I didn't really know him that good, so it could have been a bad moment in our relationship or a good moment. And I go, hey, my wife said your book is duh. And Bill goes, yeah, that's my whole ministry. He goes, I'm just pointing out the obvious. He goes, Jesus is the teacher. But Bill's just going to be showing us that disciple-making is not really that hard, that it's all about good quality relationships. It's all about, first and foremost, following Jesus, listening to the Holy Spirit. Then, because you're following Jesus and hearing the Holy Spirit, you're getting wildly excited about the mission that Jesus has given you, which is to go into the world with the gospel and be the gospel. And then, in doing that, you just got to follow a few simple things that Jesus has told us to do. And so Bill's going to come and he's going to equip. It's for all pastors, lay people. It's for anybody who wants to get excited about following Jesus. Like I said, it's going to be October 6th from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 noon. That's going to be the session. Then there's going to be a lunch. And then from 1 to 2, there's going to be an open question and answer session with Bill where you can ask him any questions you have about how you can apply this teaching or other things into your ministry so that you can transform your ministry into a place where you're wildly excited about following Jesus. This is going to be at the Community Evangelical Free Church on Mahomet at 102 Riverbend Boulevard and Route 47 in Mahomet, Illinois. And the cost for this seminar is $20, and that covers the seminar, lunch, the training manuals. You're going to get a Disciple Makers 28-day study journal that you're going to be able to take back to your ministry and be able to work through with your ministry partners. All this, again, is $20. And if you want to register for that, just call 217-367-7777.
Is that a phone number familiar to many of you?
Yeah.
Yes, this is Great News Radio's presenting this, and we appreciate you, Jason, and the Community Evangelical Free Church for allowing us to utilize the facility. And I've invited a number of friends and the Singing Men. I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. Bill is fantastic. You're going to be blessed and encouraged. So bring along your small group, your friends, your neighbors. It's going to be a great time. And I love the fact we're going to have lunch together. I know some of the people that were at the Creation Museum and some of our other trips. I've invited some of my pilgrims from Israel trips. I'm hoping a bunch of people will show up because Bill is a phenomenal teacher. He's passionate about the Lord. We'll certainly make it fun and interesting. You'll leave with some tools, some techniques, and a greater passion to follow the Lord Jesus. It's going to be a worshipful event just because we're going to be gathering in Jesus' name, talking about Jesus, talking about his vision and mission, and how we can be more effective in our worlds, in our circles of relationships. And I can't strongly encourage you enough to call and get registered. And you'll hear Bill, we're probably going to have him on next Thursday and Friday. I have some special things for next week. We'll see if I can pull it off. I'm working in conjunction with the Moody Bible Institute for a special 3-day broadcast, but probably next Thursday and Friday. But register now so we can prepare great food for you, have all the resource materials available. I know Bill's going to be bringing some of his book and ministry resources. It'll be a great event. Join us. Come on, $20, everyone. You can afford it. And if for whatever reason $20 is outside your range, I'll work something out for you, but we want everyone that's willing to attend to come and be a part of this. And there's two portions. There's 8:30 to 12:30, and if for whatever reason you have other activities you have to leave, that's fine. If you can stay for lunch, that's great. And then the 1 to 2 is a question and answer that I think you'll be blessed by, but we realize your Saturday might be busy, but at least make it from 8:30 to 12:30.
Yeah, and as a ministry leader, I would just say this, that I know that for myself and my team, we're just so glad that Mark's putting on this event, and that it's great timing, because as we get into the busy holiday season, what a great kind of shot in the arm and a reminder of how we can follow Jesus, build relationships, and make disciples. So,
all right, call in 217-367-7777. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.